portal churns on for Nebraska. Hey, everybody. This is the Pick Six podcast with Sam McEwen. Evan Bland here from the Omaha World Herald. And Sam, we're in the thick of it here. Nebraska's portal ins and outs continue on. Nebraska basketball refuses to lose a basketball game, at least on the men's side. And it's moving on. Would you have been a guy back in the day who would have gone in the transfer portal, Sam, or would you stay loyal to your program?
I hate change, so I would have stayed. I would have stayed out of the portal and with the program I was with. I'm not a big fan of change, even though like in our industry, I can handle change, and change happens a lot in journalism. But no, I would not have been the guy that left. I would have stayed loyal. So yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of these guys that are going in the transfer portal now, Evan, in 3 or 4 years, they won't. This whole trend is going to slow way down. You're going to see more and more kids stay with the schools they're at. They're going to get more and more comfortable with the money that they're getting and staying in those roles. I think that this whole sort of move around phase is sort of temporary. And we're either going to see a moratorium on like multiple transfers where you get to play right away, or we're going to see kids kind of settle down a little bit, and you won't get the situation that Nebraska has with one of its transfers who is now on his fifth school.
That's right. They have that. And it's been interesting to look back on some of the other movement that's gone on. I mean, there are guys who started at Nebraska who you're like, do they still have eligibility? They're on their fourth or fifth school after Nebraska too. So really pretty interesting. We'll get on to Nebraska basketball stuff here in a little bit. Since we last spoke, they had a pretty epic rally at Indiana, down 16. They stay unbeaten, and they're number 8 now in the country, tied for the highest in program history there. But let's start with the portal, which remains open. We're chatting here on a Tuesday. The portal closes on Friday. That's for players going in. And then really for Nebraska's purposes, January 20th is that date that you look at. That's the last day you can enroll in classes at UNL. Last year, Rocco Spindler was a guy who kind of just beat the gun on that, coming off of his run at Notre Dame. So you still have a stretch here where Nebraska could still add. But I think, you know, they've got 15 guys here at this point. When you include Anthony Berberia from Iowa Western, the defensive tackle, there's enough in there to, I think, have some kind of an evaluation of what they have. Where do you start, Sam, in terms of like starter potential out of this group? They've got 15 in there now. How many of those do you suppose you could realistically pencil in as starters when the ball kicks off here in September?
Well, I would say that the quarterback, Tony Calandria, is going to be a starter. Kwasi Gilmore is going to be a starter. If they get Paul Mubenga, who from LSU, who played a little bit at LSU this year, I think he started, I don't know, however many games this season, I would say 3 offensive line starters. So Brendan Black, Tree Babalade, and Paul Mubenga. So 3 there. On the defensive side of the ball, I think it's a little bit trickier, to be candid with you. I think right now you're going to have 2 linebacker starters. If I had to play a hunch, that would be Owen Chambliss and Dexter Foster. On the defensive line, I don't know. I don't know which of those guys are going to start. Certainly, you're bringing in the Iowa Western guy who is a JUCO All-American and could have gone to a couple of different schools. You're bringing him in to play right away and play a lot of football. He'll have to adjust to the Power Conference level. But Iowa Western does a better job of preparing defensive linemen for the Power Conference level, specifically the Big Ten, than anybody. You know, and if Andy Berbergia comes in and he's as good as Andrew Van Ginkle was at Wisconsin, or as good as the guy was at Iowa, I can't remember his name, but it was from a couple of years ago, then it's, you know, we're cool in the game. And that guy's going to be a really good football player. So they've done a great job there. Aaron Terry, Dave Tolleson, other people have done a great job of developing the players at Iowa Western. So I think that kid is honestly the linchpin, Evan, on the defensive side of the ball, because the other guys are probably role players at this point. I know that the guy for Pittsburgh started in the Military Bowl. I don't I don't compare the ACC and the Big Ten. I know Miami's in the national championship game, and kudos to Miami, but Miami ran all over Pittsburgh. And so I don't really compare the two leagues. I don't think they're that comparable. And so a 6 foot, 275 pound guy coming to the Big Ten, he's going to have to be really, really strong and really quick. And so I want to see that before I pencil him in as a starter. And the kid from UCLA might start. The Anthony Jones, but he doesn't have to. And like the situation out at the end, you got Cam Lenhart, you got Williams Wanniri, you got Cade Pinchak. You don't have to start Jones. And then in the secondary, we'll see. I mean, right now, maybe none of those guys will start. They signed three of them. I think if I was going to be candid, Evan, I think they've done a really incredible job on the offensive side of the ball, especially if they get Mubanga, beat Alabama for him, which would be pretty sweet. And on the defensive side of the ball, I think they've got some room to grow. Yeah, but the Iowa Western kid is key. Now, if he comes in and is what Van Ginkle was, who am I thinking of the guy at Iowa? Just a couple years ago, he's a real good player.
Jordan Vanderberg.
No, it was,
Not
what
him?
was it? Nixon was his
Oh,
name.
Nixon. Okay.
Davion Nixon, maybe? Is that who I'm thinking of from a couple of years ago?
Maybe. Remember
I'm gonna look it up.
Perrion Winfrey from the 19 class at
Yeah,
Iowa
Perrion Winfrey
Western.
was good too.
He went on to
And he ended up at
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, yeah.
Yeah, so he was an Oklahoma guy.
But Nebraska was way late on him, too.
They were, yeah, Winfrey was very good. I am thinking of Davion Nixon, and he played his last year in 2020. He was a fifth round pick, and he was really good at Iowa. So he played, and yeah, he was good, very, very good player. And so he, as a junior, he was a first team All-American. So he was really, really damn good. And then he went to the NFL for 3 or 4 years. So I was thinking of him. If Bergia is exactly what those guys were, then they got a ball player. Defensively, I think they still have work to do. Chambliss has got to pan out, and so does Foster. And I'm probably a little higher on Foster than most people, and I like what Chambliss brings to the table, but he's a great runner. I'll be curious to see how he handles things in the Big Ten. But that's probably where I'm at. I'm a little bit more bullish on the offensive additions than I'm on the defensive additions right at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of went through it too, and you see 15. I kind of looked at it as like anywhere from 9 to 12 guys either could start or Nebraska wants to start. And that would be a higher hit rate than we've seen them hit in the portal in the past. I think probably more than what a lot of teams have found, with the exception of some. You know, Indiana is probably one that comes to mind, their hit
Five
rate.
offensive starters.
Yeah.
I think they want five there on the defensive side of the ball. Again, the Iowa Western kid's got a hit. I don't know that the other two guys are starters. I don't know. The linemen. And then
Right.
you assume that two of the linebackers will, and then defensive backs are going to compete. All three of them.
I
Now,
think
they're all
you're probably one
interesting
of those.
players, but I don't know if any of them are going to beat out Rex Guthrie, Caleb Benning, Donovan Jones, Andrew Marshall. And
Right.
then you have one corner spot, and that could go to Bly Hill or Amari Saint. Like, I don't know. I think they're depth pieces. They're guys that can play. Maybe one of them starts. Maybe they're just there to support. Maybe they play, I don't know, 300 and some snaps, and they've got flexibility back there. But I don't know that any of those guys are like super starters. Maybe McDougal. Although I've heard better things about Victor Evans, and I don't know much about the
Right.
Towson kid. I don't know much about him. But obviously they have scouts out there, and they feel good about their scout. And again, how are you moving Rex Burkhead or Rex Burkhead, Rex Guthrie out of the lineup? Caleb Benning just had 13 tackles. Donovan Jones is a hell of a player. I mean, we're not moving Donovan Jones out of the starting lineup. At least I hope not, because he had some missed tackles against Utah. I hope that wouldn't be the case. Because Jones is an awfully good football player, and he just needs more time. He got thrust into playing time very early. By the time that he's a redshirt sophomore next season, that guy's going to be a dude, and he will make the tackles that he missed against Utah. That's my take. That's my take. But maybe their take will be different. It's hard to tell what's going on the defensive side of the ball, and They hired a defensive line coach on well, they haven't hired him yet, but they're moving in that direction according to a source. And I think that whole unit's going to take all spring. The whole thing is going to take all spring to figure out. All spring. And they don't get Bubrugia, I think, until May anyway.
He's a May grad, right?
So it'll really take all of training camp too. Like, you're going to see people, and this is what happens in the media around here. They're going to declare everything fixed. Oh, this guy and this. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't. We'll have a sliver of the verdict when they play Ohio, which is a pretty good football team, getting a new head coach. And we'll have a lot more of the verdict after the end of September. We will not know. So people that are guaranteeing that are over their skis, and well, this guy you and I exchanged some texts about some of the guys that were signing on defense, and I'm just like, these do not feel like the first guys on their list.
So let me ask you this. When it comes to the defensive line, so they bring in Berberia, he's 6'2", 295.
Yeah, he's
Jasir
a
Williamson,
Duke.
the Pittsburgh kid, 6 foot 274. Are
Yeah.
you so like based on your understanding of what Rob Orrich wants to do with the scheme with a four-man front, are you someone who would say Nebraska needs that Jordan Riley, Damian Daniels type who's 325 pounds? Or do you think they're better served to go a little bit lighter, 300 or so, at those interior tackle spots moving forward in that new scheme?
The answer to the question is they can do it either way. You can do it. You can do it a couple of different ways. You can do it either way. I mean, you can have a two gap scheme where the big guy, they brought in the guy from Colorado. They wanted the guy from K-State who was a big guy, and that guy could come in and he can be a space eater. Your 6 foot 275 pounder is going to be a guy that penetrates and makes plays. Because that guy's not going to eat space. He's not going to stand up and, take on 650 pounds of mass. Now he can get under some guys, and if you get a defensive lineman who can get under the pads of a larger offensive lineman, you can make some plays that way. And then your Bubrugia can be your two technique if that's what they're going to do, or it can be Riley Van Poppel. But yeah, I mean,
Because it kind of felt like they wanted to go bigger
then they didn't get those
and
guys.
then they couldn't. Those guys committed elsewhere, and so
Right.
they're pivoting.
Now they may have taken this kid from Pittsburgh. Help me out with his name.
Jasir Whittington.
Whittington. Because I kept getting it as Whittingham in my mind. I'm like, no, that's Kyle Whittingham, idiot.
Right.
So Jasir Whittington, and then is it Jason? Jason? The Towson defensive back, or is it Jayshon?
Jason, I think. Yeah.
Jason.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Jason
Whittington.
Shiggs. Yeah.
Again, I've watched what I can. Now, what you do is you go back and you watch whole games. So I'm going to have to go back and watch all the Pittsburgh games. I'll check the snap counts on PFF, and then I'll go back and watch the condensed games on YouTube. And that's really the only way you can get a sense of it. So I watched all of Andrew Marshall's game against Oregon and all of Andrew Marshall's game against somebody else in 24. I watched everything I could on Jahmyr Khan. I watched enough of Cal and Kentucky to get a sense of what those two receivers were going to be. And I liked Isaiah Hunter more than I think he. So I don't. I'll have to go back and watch it. But you can have a situation where you have an undersized nose tackle who's a playmaker, who's either angled or shaded to the shaded nose, as they call it, like a off center of the center. Then you have a two technique, and then you got your ends. You can do it that way, or you can have the Damian Daniels defensive line, which is Damian was a big guy, he's 330. And then, you had Damian, who was like 340. And then you got Khalil Davis and Carlos Davis. And then I can't remember who the end was on that team. The other guy. Remember who it was.
Stilly was there.
Yeah, so it would have been that. I mean, that would have been their, that probably would have been their line in 19. And then in by 21, it was Stilley and it was Damian Daniels and a couple other guys. I can't remember exactly who they were, but you can do it that way, or you can do it the way that they're going to do it. But the way you put it was they're going to go out and get there. They tried to get the big guys, and then those guys went other places, and then they went with a smaller guy, quicker guy. I feel like they haven't had a lineman exactly like this since maybe Kevin Williams. Kevin Williams was smaller and quicker. God bless it. Kevin Maurice. You probably don't, you were in Council Bluffs when Kevin Maurice played at Nebraska.
I know who he is. Yeah, I didn't cover him, but
Yeah, he wasn't real big. I mean, Malik was only 6'3" and 295, but he had a wrestler's body, and so he was, he was very strong up top, but he had a an impossible to manage lower half that you could just you couldn't really get into him. He was built in such a way that he was built like a wrestler, and he was hard to move. So he was like 6'2" and a half, 305 or something, but he was, but they paired him with Vincent Valentine. And so Vincent Valentine was like 6'3", 345. And so, like, again, the way they want to do it, they can do it. I mean, Brolin Van Poppel is a big guy. You can put him at the two technique, or you can put Babergia there, or you can put Babergia on the end, or you can put Babergia at nose and bring this other smaller guy to come in. And you probably really don't remember this, but back in 07, Kevin Cosgrove had this thing he called the 30 package or whatever, where he put Philip Dillard as the nose tackle in a pass rush package.
Yeah, I was covering him for college back then. I remember
And
this. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember they debuted it against Nevada, and I think it worked once. And I don't think it worked much again that season. So you can do all kinds of stuff. I mean, you can do all kinds of things, but at the end of the day, I'm a little uncertain there. And then I told you before this all began, there's always going to be a defensive back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's three, and Addison Williams probably deserves some latitude to go and get his guys. And again, how it all is going to play out, I really don't know. I think they actually have good young defensive backs, but they may feel like we can't just throw those guys out there and hope that they figure it all out.
Right.
Rex Guthrie is not young anymore. He started all season. Caleb Benning played a lot of football. Donovan Jones is not young anymore. So what you're left with is who's going to take the Sierra Wright role? And because Malcolm Hartsock didn't play after the first, like the second game. So who's going to take that role? Well, I kind of thought it might be Amari Sanders, or it might be this guy or that guy. It's probably going to be one of these guys that just showed up, or Jahmyr Khan.
Yeah, they have lots to figure out. There's no doubt.
But Jones and Marshall are probably your two corners, I would think. But I don't know. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. You've done incredible work covering all this stuff with pre-writes and post-writes and all these other things. What I can say is, I think their transfer portal haul is decent, but I wouldn't, but I would say that the offensive side did more of the work. Almost like those guys had more connections. Like, they've been around a
Somewhat.
little more. You know what I mean? Like Jeep Wade and Lonnie Teasley, they knew where to go and they knew who to call, because they've been around. Rob Orich is kind of moving into this world, like he, and I, again, I'm a big Orich guy. But he's, he's South Dakota, Idaho, now San Diego State. He knows the guys at San Diego State. How many power conference connections does he have? Well, he's developing those. Roy Manning certainly has those. He's the defensive ends coach. The new defensive line coach has some, but he's been kind of all over the place. But he comes from Miami of Ohio, and how many players are you getting from Miami of Ohio? I don't know. So some of this is who you know and who you're able to bring in, and it feels like Jeep Wade and Lonnie Teasley know a lot of people, because the guys that they got connected to real fast were dudes. And Bob Ilotti has obviously got things to work through, but these other two guys are, they're good players, and Nebraska did well on the offensive line. I knew that they wanted to rebuild it. That was the understanding that I received. What some of these other guys end up doing, maybe they'll stay for another year. I don't think anybody's running them out. They're welcome to develop and continue getting better behind some of these other guys that they just landed. But I knew that they wanted to come in and do what they needed to do to restock it real quick. And so you're going to see a portal line next year. You're going to see three portal starters. I don't think there'll be a fourth, but you never know.
That to me is the position that we've seen, like that my perception has changed on the most since the start of last year. I mean, I would have, based on the recruiting wins that they've had at that position, it felt like this would have been the time to start transitioning to that next group of guys that we heard about, and that there was depth and quality depth. And so, man, what a turnaround it is that Nebraska felt like they had to go out and land, if Mbenga is indeed in, three starters there, plus Pritchett, who obviously they brought in a year ago. So that's four guys who developed elsewhere, began elsewhere, plus Justin Evans, who's kind of a neat story moving from guard to center. But I mean, what an indictment, I think, on the development of some of those younger guys. How was it that a one-legged Turner Corcoran in the bowl game was a better option than some of these guys that have been in the program for 2 or 3 years? But that's where they
That's a
stand.
great question.
Like, it's just that part blew me away. But clearly they felt like they needed to renovate that line, and they're doing so. Let me
They
ask you
remade
this
the
too.
quarterback room too. I mean, let's the work they've done there is really impressive. So Tony Calandria is, he's a capable starter. He could be a top six or seven starter in the Big Ten. And then Danny Kalen as your second string or third. That's a get. That's good. Danny Kalen's got ability.
Hey, we talked about that last week on this
Yeah, I
podcast.
know.
I didn't think he was coming back. Why do you suppose? Like, he hasn't shared that publicly. Like, why? Virginia had nobody obviously on the roster. I know they were going out and getting somebody, and they did. But why would he come back? He left when he was the number two, and he's coming back when he could be the number three. Like, make that make sense, other than love of Nebraska, wanting to be around the program. I get that. But just from a competitive standpoint, is this a better situation for him than it was 2 years ago when he was a freshman with Dylan
Yes, it is. It is. It
Why?
is a better situation. Because I think he's got a chance to win the job, whether it's this year or it's next year. And I think getting back here is part of it. And I think there was just a, now I'm gonna say something and I'm gonna mean it. Trey Taylor could be the second coming of Jaden Daniels, and he ought to sit when he gets here. Now, if you learned anything from what just happened with Dylan Raiola, the lesson is true freshman quarterbacks, barring you have no one, or barring people get hurt and they have to play, that they should learn. They should not, it shouldn't turn into a, well, he helped us get a bunch of recruits, so like we have to play him. No. So the idea that like, okay, well, Trey Taylor's coming next year. Well, then let him come. And I'm not trying to knock that kid because I think he's got more talent in some areas than Dylan did. And the other thing about Trey Taylor that I really like is he's stuck with his school and he's a leader in that context. And he's been with Nebraska for several years. So I'm not saying that he couldn't be great. Jaden Daniels started as at Arizona State and was pretty good his first year there. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying, like, Danny's Kalen's got a chance to start here if Nebraska stays convicted to what you got to do with freshman quarterbacks, which is almost always you got to sit them. And teams that play freshman quarterbacks right away, honestly, a lot of times their coaches are desperate. And I felt like Nebraska was not in a desperate position when they made the move on Raiola and started him right away. So I think, first of all, I think Danny did some really good things in training camp when he was here, and it was just like, well, Dylan's going to be the starter, so it doesn't really matter. And I think he was like, well, I'm going to be here for 3 years, and I'm not going to play because, Ryle is going to play. And that's changed. I think he'll have an absolute opportunity to compete against Lateef. I think Calandria is probably a little bit ahead of him because of his experience and because of his mobility. I can't speak to what happened in Virginia. Other than, I think it's kind of odd to go to Virginia. No offense. Great university, cool uniforms. Might have had a chance to play there. I just don't think the ACC and that school, like, it's just, it seemed like an odd fit to me. I thought maybe he'd go to Missouri, but then Missouri had its own five star in Matt Zollers, and then Missouri, everybody else left. And so Missouri's got the one guy there now. So I don't know. Like, I think that's probably the way I would lay it out. I think he had an opportunity with Iowa State. Iowa State took Zane Flores, which is fine. He's got more experience than Danny. And Zane's got some skills too. I wonder if Iowa State had said we're going to take Kalen, whether Flores would have come to Nebraska. It doesn't really matter now because he's going to Iowa State. So, but yeah, I mean, I thought both of those were possibilities, and they did a
Wow.
great job of rebuilding it, man.
They
They got
did.
three quarterbacks now who are legit, who you could put out in a football game, and last year they had two. That I think they felt like, yeah, we can go win a game. Now they have three. And I think Calandry can be just about as good, maybe better than Dylan would have been this year. And I'm not, to be clear, Dylan Riley is a very talented football player. He's going to Oregon for a reason. And Oregon would not take him as a as charity case. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do it. He's too good. So he's a good player. I think Calandria can do as much for Nebraska this year as Rallo would have. Because I don't think Rallo was going to reach the peak that he can reach at Oregon here. And that's not all his issue. That's some of that's on Nebraska. But so yeah, I think they did a great job of the quarterback group. And I like the receiver they got.
Oh, I think
I
Kwazi
like
Gilmer
him.
could be.
Yeah.
I think he'll be a starter. Yeah, and he'll be one of their top two or three wideouts.
I think so. I think you. I think so. I think so too. So
And
I think they did a great job on the offensive side. Kudos to Dana Holgorsen. Kudos to Glenn Thomas, to Rhule himself, to the offensive line coaches, to Dakeel Shorts for getting Gilmer, who I think is one of the, I don't know, eight or nine best receivers in the portal. They did a real nice job, and I'm sure it wasn't cheap to get everybody back here. But you have to have. Here's the other thing, Evan. You have to have depth in your room quarterback wise because that makes the whole roster better. Like if you've got a guy that can go down and really make plays at the whatever you want to call it, scout team level, or you've got a guy, the three's pushing the two and the two's pushing the one, it makes everybody better. And so this gives them an opportunity if they want to say, okay, TJ, you didn't win the starting job. We are not going to burn another year of your eligibility. We're going to let Danny be the number two. And he'll go in and spot duty, and we're going to try to protect your red shirt, and then may the best man win in 27. And again, this is my opinion, and I'm saying it way ahead of time. So when we talk about this in 27, we can say it. Trey Taylor, unless there is literally no other option, should sit. And that's not because I don't think he's really good. I think the really good ones sit and they learn. And there's been circumstances. Again, Bo Nix, did he start at Auburn? Yes, he did. Did he leave? Yes, he did. Did his coach get fired? Yes, he did. Arizona State, did Jamie Daniels start as a freshman? Yes, he did. Did he leave? Yes, he did. Did his coach get fired? Yes, he did. Like, that's what happens. Like, it's just not. Now, Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix are, superstars in the NFL, but they did that once they went to Oregon and LSU. Now, Matt Rhule's not going anywhere. So, to be clear, that part of the equation is not part of this. But, like, that's what happens when you start these guys is they're like, hey, oh, okay, well, you started me and I developed, and now I'm going to take my skills over here. And Ryla might sit for a year, which would be the best thing for him. Be the best thing for him.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He started for 2 years and he could be willing to sit if Dante
Yeah.
Moore
What's
comes
that tell you?
back.
It tells you that his
How
family,
about
and I
that?
give them a lot of credit, they care about his future in the NFL. And if I just wish that there had been in December of whatever it was, 23. Everybody agreed, listen, we could use this kid this year. We are not going to do that to him. We're going to sit him. We're going to let him learn behind Kyle McCord. We're going to tell Kyle McCord he's the guy. And Dylan's going to be redshirting. And we're going to let Kyle teach Dylan how to do this. And then Dylan's going to come in 25, and he's going to be a redshirt freshman, and he's going to be way ahead. And all the things that frustrated the national media about Raiola wouldn't have existed. all that would have been washed out. Like the whole, like, because if he had spent a year redshirting in Nebraska, he wouldn't have been a celebrity. He would have fit in with the rest, and like he would have been like the rest of his teammates. And that would have been so good for him. And now he's going to get that at Oregon. So like they're making I kudos to Donovan Raiola and his family and all the rest. Nebraska should burn on it. Nebraska should be smolder. They should be frustrated. And they should be like, you know what? When we play this kid, we're gonna show him that we're good too. But that's Nebraska. That's not a criticism of the Raiola family. They made a great decision for their son. And if
They
he
did.
starts next year, he's gonna start for a hell of a football team that, in my opinion, could be better than the team they had this year. Because I don't think the gap between Dante Moore and Dylan Raiola is very big. But I don't think Dante Moore is as good as everybody else does. So I think Dylan can do almost all the things Dante Moore did. And maybe a few things Dante Moore didn't, at least against Indiana. But we'll see. I don't want to knock that because, you know, Raiola didn't play well against Indiana either. And Indiana's going to win the national championship next Monday. So
That's going to be electric. Hey,
what else you want to hit?
one more on the portal here, Sam. So, and I've heard this from fans, and I'm guessing you probably have too. Is what Nebraska's done this year, 15 plus transfers, is this going to be an annual thing now because they can afford it? Or would you prefer to be less? And how do you find those clues in other Big Ten programs? I know you've done some research on that. Is what Nebraska is doing standard operating procedure now because they have the budget to do it, or how do they compare to some of these other top teams in the league?
So what you look at is on the poll, on the two polls, you have programs where I would say that the coach has got to win right now. Or they're rebuilding. Let me DJ scratch that. On the far end of teams that have a whole bunch of transfers, you have Penn State, they're number one. I think UCLA actually is number one, then Penn State, then Wisconsin, then Michigan State. Three of those teams have new coaches, and one of them basically is on the hot seat, and he had to restock his entire roster, that being Fickell. So you don't want to be in that number. And I think UCLA's got like 37, and Penn State has 35, and obviously they took a bunch of Iowa State guys. And we're going to learn something. Here's something to put back here in your brain. If what really is the secret sauce at Indiana is Kurt Cignetti bringing his players, then Penn State should be pretty damn good next year, shouldn't they?
Yeah,
Because he brought
yes.
like 30 players from Iowa State. So they ought to be pretty good.
But that Iowa State team wasn't as great. Sure. Yes, that's
Yeah.
true.
James Madison wasn't that good. You think James Madison 2023 was as good as Iowa State 2025? I don't.
Right.
We'll see.
Go on.
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
That's my point. Is it like, I think everybody said, well, it's because he brought his players. We'll see. We'll see. And then on the other end, you have teams that didn't take many guys at all because they're young and they like want to stick with their guys. And that's USC, and that's Maryland, and that's Oregon for now. Oregon's piling up commits as we speak. Washington, those are the four lowest ones. Now, Oregon's a little bit of a unicorn there because they just kind of got kicked out of the playoff and they're trying to figure it out, right? They lost in the playoff. They didn't get actually kicked out. Nebraska's smack dab in the middle in the numbers of 14. Now, again, Baburgia is not. He's a junior college guy, so he isn't counting this. And that's kind of where some of these other programs are at, too. Like Michigan's at 11, Northwestern's at 12, Illinois's at 14. We'll save this conversation for another day, but like, what is the, you know how they have these things called sister cities? You know, your sister city is Milan, Italy, or whatever it is. What is Nebraska's sister program in the Big Ten at this point? And what's the program that you're looking at and going, okay, well, Nebraska certainly isn't Oregon, and they're also not Michigan State. Like they're not Purdue. So let's not compare them to Purdue. Let's not compare them to Oregon or Ohio State. Which team is their sister program? And for me, that's kind of Illinois and Minnesota. Those and Iowa. I suppose Iowa's beaten Nebraska so many times in a row, you almost feel like Iowa's kind of a cut above. But those are the programs I compare Nebraska to at this point. So their sister programs are those. And I think Nebraska's about in line with everybody else. Indiana's got the best players. They have 15 commits and they have the best ones. Oregon is probably right there too. I mean, Oregon's got some dudes. I mean, they got Quay Parrish from Minnesota. They got Dylan Raiola. I mean, Dylan Raiola's a good player. Again, I'll say this many times over. He's a really good player. It's just too bad it didn't work here. But they'll get other guys too. And then Indiana got some good players. I mean, they got Nick Marsh from Michigan State. He's a dude. Josh Hoover is going to be their quarterback. Turbo Richard, who we saw a little bit in the
A
Pinstripe Bowl,
name.
is going to be at Boston. I mean, they're going to be good. Indiana's got it rolling, and they're going to keep it rolling. It ain't going anywhere. So, I think Nebraska's middle of the pack. I wouldn't sit here and tell you that they're like number one in the country. Mubanga will help them. I will say that. I think that'll be a key addition. And I'm looking at 247's rankings, and like they're not perfect. Nebraska's 33rd in its transfer portal hole, which is not pretty good, but it's not like fall down incredible. The highest rated transfer according to 247 appears to be Brendan Black.
He's plug and play.
And then after that, it's Anthony Jones. Now, I would probably say the number two guy after that is Anthony Calandria. That'd be me. But Brendan Black is number one. And
Yeah,
then
that's
the
interesting.
guys, go ahead.
So that's interesting. Yeah, that they would put him number one. I just look at it. It's interesting that I feel like 2 or 3 years ago, if you're a program that brought in 15 guys, it was sort of an indictment. It was like, well, you can't develop your own guys. And so now you're bringing in this level of talent. I wonder if in the rev share era, that's sort of shifting now where it's like Nebraska's got the money. They have the luxury of having a personnel department to scout these guys. Why wouldn't they go out and spend if they feel like they can upgrade and use some of these other places as development factories? So I'm kind of torn where it's just like, yeah, Nebraska hasn't done a great job developing a lot of their talent, so they need these guys to come in and hit and be starters. But I think at the same time, it does at least in part validate what Matt Rhule has said, that they can go out and be competitive for these guys. I mean, Mubenga's committed it while we're here talking, and some
Breaking
of the
news.
programs, yeah, dun 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 dun. So some of the programs that Nebraska beat out, Nebraska's not beaten out because of tradition or academics. They were competitive financially. Like he said no to Arkansas. His younger brother's a lineman at Arkansas. He's coming to Nebraska.
Yeah.
So
They've done a great job on the offensive side of
it's
the
an
ball.
interesting spot,
Great
I
job.
think, where Nebraska is right now.
They've done terrific.
You get three starters, probably three starters
Oh,
out of
yeah.
there.
Well, I don't know that they're done.
On O-line?
I don't know. They might be.
Okay. All right.
They're going to give Jeep Wade whatever he wants. They're paying him a lot of money, for one thing. They're paying Jeep Wade a lot of money to be here. So they're going to give him what he wants. If he wants to go out and get, I mean, they're paying Lonnie Teasley money too. So, like, if they want to go get guys, they're going to go get guys. The end. Hey, again, I'll tell you that, again, Matt Rhule said he was going to build it around the line of scrimmage. He meant that. And so that meant, and our colleague Tom Chattel, no one has beaten the drum harder for the offensive line than Tom. Nobody. Certainly, he's right. If you were to see what Nebraska's doing right now, nobody was more right about this than Tom. Because I was like, I don't know. Maybe you can go with the guy. I mean, gosh, they've had these guys here. Tom was like, nope. And he's right. He's right about that. So, because what they're doing is they're basically saying, no, Tom was right. This wasn't good enough. This isn't anywhere near what it needed to be. And so Jeep Wade and Lonnie Teasley came in and they changed. So, that's what they're doing. And kudos to them. They haven't gone out and gotten guys that are like, they went out and got frontline SEC top starter in the Big 12 guys. Like, no joke. These guys are going to come in and they're gonna lock it down. They'll have a good offensive line next year. They will. Unless the guys get hurt. I mean, you knock on wood, but they've done their job. And I think they're going to be good at quarterback. We'll talk about the quarterback a million times between now and, I don't even know, start of spring camp, but they're going to be okay there too. They're going to be okay there. Running back, we'll see. Miami plays on Monday night. I don't know about what happens after that. Marty Brown's a big part of that team, so not sure why he wouldn't go back, but and they could win the title. Let's wrap this up. You like Indiana, I assume, in the national championship?
I do. Yes. I mean, a lot of great football the last couple of weeks. Kurt Cignetti says no. We're just gonna steamroll everybody. And I don't know. It kind of feels like that could be the same sort of thing. Even though it's in Miami, their stadium and everything else. It's incredibly impressive. They're so fun to watch, Sam, Indiana, that like, and maybe it's just the novelty of the fact that it's Indiana, but like I watched the Rose Bowl and the Peach Bowl to completion both times. Like the games weren't in doubt really in the last quarter at all. And I couldn't look away. Like it was just, they kept going. They kept playing hard. Their offensive line is fun to watch. Their pass game is complex. It's like the connection that they have between receiver and quarterback is high level. And so, yeah, I think they're going to finish it off. It'd be a great story if they do. If Miami won, it'd be a great story too. But
No, it
yes.
wouldn't be, but
Well, they haven't won in
don't
the
worry.
21st century, and they'd be at
Oh.
home. Don't confuse that for me being a Hurricanes fan. Though the Indiana story is better, but
Yeah.
nonetheless. Yes. How about you think Indiana as well?
Yes. Probably by 10 or something like that. I have no beef with Miami. Good for them. I'm glad they're there. And they earned it. They beat Ohio State. Beat Ohio State on a football field. You done something.
That's
Yep.
right.
I mean, has Georgia fired its offensive coordinator yet?
I haven't seen
I'm
anything.
still trying to figure out how Georgia lost that game, and I'm sure Georgia's trying to figure it out. And how they lost to Ole Miss, I don't know. And Ole Miss almost beat Miami too. I mean, Ole Miss was not. Anyway,
They were a
that
team
is
of
our Picks This
destiny.
podcast for this week.
Yeah. We'll be back next week. Talk more portal. It'll finally close. See if Nebraska basketball stays undefeated. We can touch on them more. There's going to be plenty of time to talk about Nebraska basketball coming up, too. For Sam, I'm Evan. This is the Pick Six Podcast. Thanks for listening, guys.